Good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. We have several people we need to be in prayer for. Nail's out. She had pneumonia, went to the hospital Thursday, but she's home from the hospital today. They took her home last night, as I understand. And be in prayer for Judith. She woke up this morning really feeling very badly, so be in prayer for Judith and Nell, and just be in prayer for each other. Begin a new year, and so let's begin with a word of prayer as we move into our study this morning, and use the time for prayer to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to how you have given to us the solution to stress, anxiety, depression, disorientation, so many things that happen in life. How to have a happy marriage, a happy life, if we would just walk in your Spirit and allow him to pour in his love. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are in Psalm 10. So let's open the Word of God to Psalm 10, and we're dealing with rebellion against God. It is amazing how man likes to rebel and boast against God, his Creator, and it is the nature of bragging and boasting to bring suffering to others. It is the nature of spiritual love to benefit others. So, and self. So if you want to bring suffering, go into boasting and bragging. If you want to bring peace and happiness, go into spiritual love. Now, we've already taken up verse 1, but let's read it by way of introduction to our study this morning. Psalm 10. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself, your eyes, from seeing yourself in times of trouble? So this is David crying out that God is not answering and doesn't seem to care about what's going on. And so now we move in the times of trouble to verse 2. Verse 2. In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots they have devised, for the wicked boast of his heart's desire. So we left off in verse 2 last week. It is in arrogance. So it says in pride, that's arrogance. And please remember, coming up in our study of 1 Corinthians 13, spiritual love is not arrogant. If you're arrogant and you sense it, don't deceive and lie about it. Oh, I don't want to even acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Don't be afraid to do that. This is where 1 John 1:9 comes into play. 1 John 1:9 deals with a person in 1 John 1:8 who's in denial. Don't be in denial. If you're in sin in some way, acknowledge it. Take care of it. Hit it. Nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife would say. So don't deny these things. And that is your warning. I need to get back in the filling of the Spirit. I need to have in spiritual love so that I will not boast, be jealous. And we're dealing with the negatives and spiritual love, just right where we are. 1 Corinthians 13:4, we're dealing with two negatives of spiritual love. Spiritual love is not jealous or envious. Spiritual love does not boast. And so this is where we are. Now, verse 2. In pride or in arrogance. And this is a characteristic of Satan, as we're going to see in our study. That brings us down to verse 3, which is our verse. For the wicked boast of his heart's desire. Now, don't forget that word far. The first of this goes back to verse 1. Don't lose sight of the original question. Silence of God, inactivity of God, apparent inactivity of God, whom you expected to be acting, and he doesn't act. For, why you should act? For the wicked boast of his heart's desire. And it is fundamental to rebellion to boast against God. And this takes us now in our study. For the wicked boast. And then it says, of the desires of his soul. But I want you to know right up front, not in reality. Boasting is not in reality. This is boasting in the desires of his soul. What I will do. It's like a boxer or football players. We're going to win. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It's a desire of the soul, and they boast about it. That's what we have going on here. Desires of the soul. Now, with that in mind, let's look at Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, and we'll look at verse 13 and 14, where we have five I wills of Satan. Five I wills of boasting. He's going to boast, and he's going to boast in using five I wills. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. That's the angels, the elect angels. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And then the final one, I will make myself like the Most High. Now, people, you have to understand Lucifer. What did he tell Eve? You will be like God. He doesn't want you to eat of this tree, because he knows if you eat of it, you'll be like him. So the lower creatures always think they can be like God. They can always get up to the power of God. And I will. Parents, please teach your children not to boast. As little children, teach them not to boast. This is something, people, it's characteristic to the human nature to boast. I'll show you that in a moment. Even on the good side, it's to our, it's part of our nature. And, in fact, just right now while we're at it, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And drop all the way down to the bottom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29 to 31, so that no man may boast before God. People, it's part of our nature. We're studying in the Old Testament, New Testament, studying with believers, and in Corinth, they were just saturated with boasting. Spiritual gift, who they followed as a teacher, all these type of things that were going on. People like to boast of all the doctrine they know, on and on and on. So, boasting is part of our nature. So it says, so that no man may boast before God. Now look at verse 30. But by his doing, you are in Christ, who came to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, let him boast in the Lord. Now, people, boasting is part of our nature. But boast in the Lord. Have your boasting be in truth, in reality. That's what you want it to be. And look, I want you to look. We think about Satan. I will ascend. I will do this. I will do that. Coming off of 1 Corinthians 1:30, all that you and I are, I want you to see Lucifer. Look what he had. This guy did not lack. Look at Ezekiel chapter 27. Now, I'll tell you right now, we'll be studying, looking at Ezekiel 28. We'll be looking at it Wednesday night. But let's just, that's why it's right on my mind. So let's look at it very carefully. Ezekiel 28. And let's look at verse 11. Now, what we're studying, we just read how Lucifer, I will be like God, I will ascend, I will do all that. Look what he had. Look what this guy had. See? Verse 11. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, lamentation, take up lamentation for over the king of Tyre. This is not the king of Tyre. And say to him, thus says the Lord. Okay, now, you had the seal of perfection. Well, the literal physical king of Tyre did not have that. So we know we're not talking about him. We're talking about Satan. So look at what he had. He had the seal of perfection. This means God's perfective ability of creation. This was the epitome. This was the height. He was above everybody, all the angels. Now let's continue. Full. People not lacking, full of wisdom. Oh, and I love this. Perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Many precious stones were your covering. Look at his beauty. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, lapis, the azula, the turquoise, the emerald, gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. This creature had it all. On the day you were created, they were prepared. Look at verse 14. Look what he had. You were anointed, the anointed cherub. Above all the cherubs. Cherubs are the highest order of angelic beings. Who covers, and that means guards. We'll take a look at this Wednesday night. Who guards. And I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. Where's that? We'll see Wednesday night. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. Look at verse 15. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. This creature had it all. And he wanted more. He blew it. He became jealous of God and boasted. If you ever want a statement where you see jealousy and boasting in one statement, I will be like God. That is jealousy and boasting. He has all this, and look what he does with it. It's very difficult growing up in life. For a woman to be very beautiful is really a handicap. It's a real challenge. Many, many beautiful women have gone down the tubes. They didn't know how to handle it. Many handsome men have fallen. They didn't know how to handle it. See? You got many smart people. Whatever it is, it sets you apart from everyone else. That's dangerous. Watch out for it. Watch out. That might be your Achilles heel. That might be what brings you down. So you ought to be very careful. But I wanted you to see in Ezekiel 28, all that this creature had. This creature had it all. See? And, but he said, I will be like God. And, this is such arrogance of himself. Such disregard for the being of God. No fear of God. It's one thing that we think of the things we think. But to speak them out, that's what he's doing, boasting. Most of us have better sense. Child to parent. Child to teacher. To policeman. Most of us have better sense than to boast to a superior. Not all of us, but most of us do have that ability. And but not Lucifer. He did not have that ability. And so the point of boasting here is total absence of shame. Total absence and regard for God. This alone reveals the total depravity of Satan, the depravity of the wicked, the depravity of arrogance or boasting, arrogance of self, contempt of God. we are to be silent, really, before God. Never be bothered by the boasting of the wicked, by the boasting of anyone. Don't be bothered that God does not send a bolt of lightning and take them out. Just let it go. God's in control. Don't worry about their boasting. And we hear a lot of that today in politics. We hear a lot of that in the religious realm. A lot of boasting. Don't worry about it. God is in control. Now, God is still taking care of Satan and his idle boast. It may not look that way. It may look like right now today, Satan's winning. But he's not. All he's doing is digging his, as we say, digging his grave deeper. He's just digging it and digging it deeper. Now, why didn't God just do something to Satan right from the beginning? Just wipe him out right there, right then and there. The moment he said, I will be like you. If you still have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel 28. Look at verse 15. Until unrighteousness was found in you. Now, God did not create that. Satan brought that on himself. He brought his own unrighteousness on himself. Why didn't God? Think about it. Wouldn't it be just great? Just think. If God had said, that's it, you're out. You're gone. No more. Not going to happen. Just, why didn't God do that? See? Why didn't God just wipe him out? People, because God wanted to demonstrate his glory. His own glory. Demonstrate his power and the power of his love. Love is very important. It never supersedes righteousness. It never violates righteousness. But we are to be most thankful for the love of God. The principle here, the wicked boast of his heart's desire. Now look at the next phrase. And the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. Now the word greedy is the word baha in Hebrew. And it means covetous. To gain by violence. This brings in jealousy into our study of boasting. See? That's why spiritual love does not boast. I got to keep reminding you of that. From the beginning of the conflict, these two go hand in hand. Jealousy goes with boasting. They both come from arrogance. Spiritual love is not arrogant. We'll put this all together when we come to arrogance in our next study. Now, if you have the New American Standard, you will note in the margin word the word blesses. Barakah. To bless. Rough translation. But this is the wicked person does this to seek to satisfy his jealousy and envy by violent gain. That's the angelic conflict. Then pronounce blessings on himself. See how great I am. That's what's going on in the original Hebrew in verse 3. That's where the word blessings come in. He blesses himself. How great I am. I will do this. I will ascend above God. I will be over the stars. I'll be over the angels. Me. See? And then look at the next phrase. He spurns the Lord. Speaks contempt to God and about God. See, I got all this without you. I am as great as you are. He started looking in the mirror, as it were. How handsome, how intelligent, how brilliant, how above all of the... He was above every other angel. I mean, Lucifer was unbelievable. If you looked at Lucifer and looked at everyone else, they just went into the shadows. That's how he stood out. He was big, he was handsome, he was intelligent, bold, all this stuff. And that was his problem. See, and he spurned God. He forgot God gave me all of this. God made me this way. He forgot that and decided, you know what? I can be like God. In fact, I can be better than God. I can be above God. That's what he began to think. And Paul picks up on that, does the clay to say to the potter, you know, what are you doing? How are you doing it? We can't do that. Accept what God has given you and move on from there. He's happy in the state that you're in. One of the things about Lucifer, if he had just been, like Paul said, learn to be content in whatever state you're in. You know what? Okay, I'm below God, but I'm above all these other morons, all these other angels. I'm above everybody. I'm it. And you know what? I'll be happy being it. See? No, couldn't do that. He did not know how to be content in the state that he was in. And a lot of us aren't. A lot of us, as we grow, we can't. Now, what happens to with maturity, you begin to realize one of the most wonderful things in life is what happens from your last day in high school, your first day in the world, whether it's college, military, or work. You wake up. You're in a whole other world. In high school, you may have been it. You may have been the most attractive. You may have been the best athlete. You may have been a leader. You may have been this or that. Then you walk out into the world and you go, my goodness, I'm nothing. I am absolutely nothing. They don't care about me here. Especially if you go into the military. Boy, there is no awakening like your first day in the military. They cut off your hair, take your clothes, cut off your hair, and tell you you're a number and get in line. And that's it. Tell you what to eat, when to eat, where to go to sleep, get up, everything. Man, you wake up to reality. Reality. And that's what people need in life. And that's what Lucifer is going to receive. And so this is where we are in our study. And he spurns against the Lord, speaks contempt. Here is a depraved nature of boasting. Why it must be avoided? It is the nature of boasting to take credit of self and to boast of it as if you did it, not God. You earned or deserved this. It is yours, not of God. See? Or even if you advanced on it, it's still of God. That's what you have to realize. Okay, let's turn back to Psalm 10. And I want to read, and this morning, we got time, I want to read this whole beautiful psalm together. Psalm 10, verse 1. One day, Pat, you'll be here on your reading. Okay, Pat's reading through the Bible. Okay. Oh, if you want someone to pray for Phil. Because she'll say, why, what, how, So pray for Phil. It's always a trouble when someone starts reading through the Bible. They got 100 questions and all they've done is chapter 1 of Genesis. Okay. Psalm chapter 10. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide your eyes in times of trouble? Why aren't you seeing what's going on? In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots they have devised. Let them fall. But you're not doing that. They're making it. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. The wicked, in his haughtiness, in his countenance, does not seek the Lord. All his thoughts are, there is no God. That describes most Democrats in America today. He and his ways prosper at all times. Why are you letting that happen, Lord? That's what David is saying. He prospers. Why? Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his adversaries, he snorts at them. He says to himself, I will not be moved. Throughout all generations, I will not be in adversity. His mouth is full of curses and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is mischief and wickedness. No, he's not talking about the United States Congress. He's talking about the wicked in the throughout all the world. He sits in the lurking places of the village, in the hiding places. He kills the innocent. His eyes steadily watch for the unfortunate. They're the easy prey. He lurks in hiding places as a lion in his lair. He lurks to catch the afflicted. He catches the afflicted when he draws him into his net. He crouches, he bows down, and the unfortunate fall by his mighty ones. Let me just quickly add a little thing here. Let's see. Most of you are not here yet, but when you start getting old, you become a target of victim. They like to take advantage of old people. They can't hear, they can't see, they can't think, they can't do this. I'll take advantage of them. So you want to take care of the old people. He says to him, verse 11, he says to himself, God is forgotten. In other words, I'm getting away with homosexuality, same-sex marriage. I'm getting away with immorality. I'm getting away with all of these things. God doesn't care. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God. Lift up your hand. Do not forget the afflicted. Why has the wicked spurned God? He has said to himself, you will not require it. Require what God does. You have seen it, for you have beheld mischief and vexation to take it into your hand. The unfortunate commits himself to you. You have been the helper of the orphan. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Seek out the wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his hand. O Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will strengthen your heart. You will incline your ear. Now this for us is going to happen after the rapture and the millennium and the tribulation. To vindicate the orphan, the oppressed, so that man who is the earth, he will no longer cause terror. Now, what I want to do now is, I want you to look back at Psalm 9. Think about all we just saw in Psalm 10. I love the Psalms. One thing that I feel a failure in, when I first started in the ministry 45 years ago, I thought, I'm always going to be in a Psalm. Always. Well, I haven't. So shame on me. I really appreciate, I know Dr. Walkie is out in the Tulies right now, left field, but he was a brilliant Hebrew teacher at the seminary, and I'm thankful I had him in the Psalms. And he was unbelievable. And he taught us a great deal how to study the Bible. Because if you study the Psalms, there's a lot who's he talking about? They, who are they talking? And you've got to be able to work your way through who all is talking and who they're talking with. And there are always two ways you could do Dr. Walkie's homework assignment. We had it twice a week. You could go to your room and study 6 hours per assignment. Or you could go over to the library, get the cheat books, and spend 3 hours. And not learn anything. But if you spent your time in your room, you learned a lot of Hebrew and appreciation of the Psalms. Look at Psalm chapter 9. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Those two verses should characterize our life. That'll give you peace, regardless of what's going on in society. Verse 3. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne, judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy has come to an end in the perpetual ruins, and you have uprooted the cities. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord abides forever. He will establish his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed. Look at that. He will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Verse 9 is one of those refrigerator verses. Verse 10, those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare among the peoples his deeds. For he who requires blood remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. You will lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I will rejoice in your deliverance. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made. Think about that. Because in Psalm 10, he wanted to know why that wasn't happening. In the net which they hid, their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. In the work of his own hands, the wicked is snared. Hagia Selah. The wicked will return to Sheol. Even all the nations who forget God. All the nations. Think about that. Iran, Iraq, Syria, things going on around the world. For the needy will not always be forgotten. Not always. They're forgotten now, but they'll not always be forgotten. Nor the hope of the afflicted perish forever. Arise, O Lord. Do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide your eyes in times of trouble? Coming off of Psalm 9, why are you not acting now? Sometimes God doesn't act the way that we think he should act. Okay, where are we in our study? We studied the nature an environment of boasting. We study, in contrast, the nature of spiritual love that will not boast. They will not permit boasting. The cure of bragging is spiritual love. The cure of boasting is spiritual love. The cure of jealousy, envy, is spiritual love. So let's take a look. Point one, the reality of spiritual love begins with the believer knowing that everything he has, all that he is or has, is by the grace of God. If it is a spiritual gift, that is graciously given by God. It's a decision that God made, not based on you, given to us by the Holy Spirit. You did not earn it or deserve it. That's reality. You see, spiritual love deals with reality. I point that out because we just saw the wicked boast of the desires of his soul, not reality. I will be like God, not I am above God. I will be. It doesn't deal with reality. Boasting never deals with reality. Spiritual love deals with reality. See, spiritual love loves reality. Spiritual love has no delusions. No delusions about others. No delusions about self. It is jealousy, envy, that is depressed and threatened by others. But spiritual love has no delusions about self or where all our blessings and advantages and spiritual gifts come from, where all these things come from. Therefore, spiritual love protects us from jealousy or envy. I'm just showing you how spiritual love works. Spiritual love doesn't say that person earned or deserved what they have, I'm better than they are, and become jealous and boast about it. Spiritual love deals with reality. God has blessed them. You've got to allow God the privilege of blessing somebody else without you getting bent out of shape. See? That's what jealousy does. Jealousy does not allow God, in your opinion, does not allow God to bless someone without you and you get bent out of shape. Spiritual love allows God to bless everybody without you getting all bent out of shape. See? I like to use the example. My wife says I use examples over and over. And now I'm learning that even my grandchildren say that. I was riding the other night with my grandson, and I started telling a story back when I was younger in the military, and he kind of finished the story. I said, I've told you that, huh? He said, yeah, a few times. But you drive through a really, really, really rich area of even Dallas, Plano. I mean, where the mansions, millions of dollars. If you get all bent out of shape, you'll learn about yourself. Just to drive through it, fine. I'm glad I live in a capitalistic country where people can have that. I'm very thankful of that. I don't want them not to have it. It's really interesting about the Democrats, what they want to do, Pelosi wants to do, and she said it, take all the money of the billionaires to take care of the problems. It has been pointed out that all the money of all the billionaires in America would not sustain America for one complete year. It would not take care of all the poverty, illness, medical, everything in America for 1 year. And what do you have after the 12, 11 months? Now you have nowhere to go get. Now you're really in trouble. See, laissez-faire capitalism just keeps it coming. You're always going to have the elite in laissez-faire capitalism. It's designed that way. Okay? And that helps others. 40% of our, in fact, it's even more than that, of our taxes come from billionaires. Not from the average person. It comes from billionaires. What they're taxed. It's just amazing. The lack of thinking through these things. Not even to mention the spiritual. Just the simple economics that you take in Economics 101. It's just amazing how they do not see it, do not have it. Okay, let's go on back now. Spiritual love is satisfied with reality of who and what you are. Spiritual love deals with reality. Has no delusions about self, your blessings, advantages, spiritual gifts, where all these things come from. Therefore, spiritual love protects from jealousy or envy. Spiritual love does not sense its own importance. It doesn't brag. See? This is the truth of spiritual love. Spiritual love loves reality. This is where I am and who I am, and I'm completely satisfied with who I am, my husband, my wife, my children, my home, my work, my life, my relationship with the Lord, my destiny after I die. I'm very happy with everything where I am. See? And you have that when you have spiritual love. See? So, it deals with things in truth. All that we are hope to be in Christ. Not earned, nor deserved. Now let's go to point two. Point two. At the root of boasting is self. In boasting, we have our eyes set on ourselves. We put ourselves in the center. That is, we live for self. We understand everything as is designed to self. We seek promotion of self in the eyes of the world, or at least in the eyes of others around us. It's a life of boasting, while the spiritual love is a life that sets Christ at the center. It's all about Jesus Christ. See? Jealousy, envy, bragging, spiritual love, satisfaction, and serving Christ, glorifying Christ, is a life where self is crucified with Christ, so that Christ can love through you. That's spiritual love. All right, let's go to point three. One of the great revelations about boasting, about having to be at the center, bragging, reveals that you are not content with reality. You are not content with reality. When you feel like you have to boast, you're not content with reality. You're not content with who you are in Christ, your work, your spouse, your family, your church, your life. You're not content. Therefore, you have to boast. You have to brag because you're not content. So one of the great revelations about boasting is that it reveals you're not content with who you are in Christ. And if you ever wonder, well, what does that mean? Look at the 34 things God has given you. That's like reading the Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 14. All the things that Lucifer was. Seal of perfection. Perfect beauty. The makings up of all those precious metals. On the mountain of God. In the Garden of Eden. I mean, on and on and on. He wasn't satisfied. Boasting is never satisfied with who and what you are. See? You've got to learn to be satisfied with who and what you are. This is one of the great lessons Jews have to learn after the Holocaust. They had to learn this. You've got to be satisfied. The world hates us. Why do they hate us? Because of our relationship with our God. That's why. So you have to learn these things in life to make it through life, make it through some difficult times in your life, difficult circumstances in your life. So great revelation of boasting, point three, is that it reveals that you are not content with who and what you are. People who are jealous, envy, or bragging prefer to see themselves as something better in the eyes of others, how others view them. See? The way other people judge us, think about us, all this type of thing. See? People marry on this basis. They keep up a financial front. I've got to marry this type of person because that will make me look good. I don't care if I love them. I don't care if they love me. I got to marry this type of person. That'll make me look good. See? And how many times do parents say to their children, look what you're doing to me? It's not about you, parent. It's about that poor little child at school. It's not about the trouble they're getting into and its reflection on you. It's about their souls. Why are they acting the way they do? Dealing with a case right now. Why? Get to a neurologist. This is not normal. They're not acting like their brothers and sisters. What's going on in their head? Find out. It's not normal. This is not your fault. This is not a lack of... Look how the other children are doing. So we need to hit it where it is. You don't ever take things personal. This is a reflection on me. See? And this is just one of those simple lessons that we learn in life. Now, Judith doesn't like it when I refer to Charles Schulz, but she's not here. So don't tell her I did this. But in Charles Schulz's Peanuts, little Linus liked to pat birds on the head. Pat him on the head. Lucy went berserk. People are laughing at me. You have a brother who pats birds on the head. And I mean, this goes on and on and on. And comes back every now and then. Every couple of years, he goes back to patting birds on the head. And she just cannot handle it. It's not about Linus. It's not about the birds. It's about her. That's what I'm talking about here. That's what bragging does. It reveals who and what's going on with you. Now let's go to point five. It is the nature of spiritual love. All right, point four. It is the nature of spiritual love to allow you to be content. Now, so that you'll understand, I was going back this morning and changed the order of the points, and I didn't do this one, so this is point four. Point four is the nature of spiritual love to allow you to be content with who you are in Christ. It is the nature of spiritual love to allow you to be content with all you are in Jesus Christ. And if you ever forget, look at the 34 things. We have the booklet back there that God did to you the moment you believed in Christ. He did that by His sovereign decision. These are the things God has done to you. Be content. And if I like to draw the bottom line on the 34 things, if you start getting older, you realize you're going to die. What's going to happen after you die? That's taken care of. Be content. Be content with what's going to happen after you die. I will be with Jesus forever and ever. Amen, and I'm ready to die. See? That's the beauty here. That's what I'm talking about. This is what spiritual love will do. Spiritual love will make you, cause you to be content with who you are in Christ. You'll be content with your spiritual gift. Content with your blessings. You want, well, I don't have this and I don't have that. And they're being blessed better and they're being blessed. No, you don't worry about all that. It's between you and your relationship with Christ. You learn to be content with who and what you are in Christ. And you take advantage of the advantages He has given to you. And when you're content with God, and with all that God does, there is no need to boast. No need to brag. No need to be jealous. No need to be envious. You don't have to be superior. You do not have to be better than others. People, and let me just share this with you. This is true of pastors. It's true of pastors. You can't compare yourself with other pastors. Well, you know, I'm better than that one. Or I want to be as good as all that kind of stuff. This is who God made me. Be very content with who God made you. See? And what God is doing with you. Be content with who and what you are in Christ. I was looking at this morning at this great calendar that Phil gave us of the Risleys. I mean, just look through this. Just sit down and look through. And I want to tell you something, and I say this out of the grandest of love, and that is, Pat Risley is no living doll. But I want to tell you something, before God, she is a living doll. Before God, she is unbelievable. Just read through this and see what this woman does, and her husband, and her children, her grandchildren. Her grandchildren. See? You want to talk about what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ? Get ready. Because she's going to carry wheelbarrows and wheelbarrows and trucks with rewards. And all she did is content with who and what she is, and Bill also, who and what they are, and what God is doing with them. See? They don't witness to the president of Mexico. They witness to the poverty of Mexico. They witness to the scum of Mexico. They witness to people that can't even provide themselves with food in Mexico. And they are thankful to God that they have that privilege. Learn to be thankful with who and what you are in Christ. See? Being content means that you do not have to be superior. You do not have to be better than anyone else. You do not have to serve. That's the issue. You don't have to be served. You have to serve. Spiritual love causes you to be content with who and what you are. My granddaughter asked an interesting question the other day. We were talking. And she says, what is the language of your love? And I thought for a minute, and I thought, what is she talking about? And I said, what do you think my language is? What do you think it is? She looked at me. I said, I love to serve. I love to serve you and Mimi. That's her grandmother, my wife. I love to serve. She said, yeah, that's your language of love. Some people have a language of love to give food. Some people have a language of love verbal. Some people have physical. Different languages of love that's kind of in her mind. She's at that age. What is your language of love? But a spiritual love is to serve one another in spiritual love. This is what you want to do. Okay, this brings us now to the nature of spiritual love that will not permit boasting. So we'll resume here next Sunday morning at this point and move into this study. Let's close now in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are. I mean, awesome. What a genius God you are. You could take millions of people, different personalities, different genetic makeup, and Father, you gave to every one of us a system where we can be totally content with who and what we are. Spiritual love from your Holy Spirit, whom you've given to us. We praise you, Father. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.